Some harmonic of that must have had a home in an old part of Blouse's brain. As Jackram opened his mouth to roar, the lieutenant held up a hand. "We are not winning, Perks, but we have not lost yet." "I think we all know that, sir, but it's good to hear you say it," said Polly, giving him an encouraging smile. That seemed to work too. "I suppose there's no harm in at least being civil to the wretched fellow," said Blouse, as if thinking aloud. "He may give away valuable information under cunning questioning." Polly looked at Sergeant Jackram, who was staring upwards like a man in prayer. "Permission to be the man to interrogate the gentleman, sir," said the sergeant. "Permission denied, sergeant," said Blouse. "I'd like him to live, and I don't want to lose another lobe. However, you may take Perks back to the cart and drive it up here." Jackram gave him the smart salute. Polly had already learned to recognise it. It meant that Jackram had already made plans. "Very good, sir," he said. "Come on, Perks." Jackram was quiet as they walked back down over the needle-carpeted slope. Then, after a while, he said, "Do you know why them troopers found our little nook, Perks?"
"No, Sarge."
"The lieutenant ordered Shufti to put out the fire immediately. It wasn't as if there was even any smoke. So Shufti goes and pours the kettle on it." Polly gave this a few seconds' thought.
"Steam, Sarge."
"Right, in a bloody great rising cloud. Not Shufti's fault. The gallopers weren't any trouble, though. Bright enough not to try to outrun half a dozen crossbows, at least. That's clever for a cavalryman."
"Well done, Sarge."
"Don't talk to me as if I was a Rupert lad," said Jackram easily.
"Sorry, Sarge."
"I see you're learning how to steer an officer, though. You got to make sure they gives you the right orders, see? You'll make a good sergeant, Perks."
"Don't want to, Sarge."
"Yeah, right," said Jackram. It could have meant anything. After watching the track for a minute or two, they stepped out and headed toward the cart. De Word was sitting on a stool beside it, writing in a notebook, but he stood up hurriedly when he saw them. "It'll be a good idea to get off the track," he said, as soon as they approached. "There are a lot of patrols, I understand."
"Slovenian patrols, sir," said Jackram.
"Yes. In theory, this," he pointed to the flag that hung limply from the cart, "should keep us safe. But everyone's a bit jumpy at the moment." "Aren't you Sergeant Jack Ram?"
"Jackram, sir, and I'll thank you for not writing my name down in your little book, sir."
"Sorry, Sergeant, but that's my job," said De Word breezily. "I have to write things down."
"Well, sir, soldiering's my job,"
said Jackram, climbing onto the cart and gathering up the reins. "But you'll note how at this moment in time I'm not killing you. Let's go, eh?" Polly climbed into the back of the cart as it lumbered off. It was full of boxes and equipment, and while it may once have been neatly organised, that organisation was now but a distant memory, a clear indication that this cart was the property of a man. Next to her, half a dozen of the largest pigeons she'd ever seen dozed on a perch in their wire cage, and she wondered if they were a living larder. One of them opened one eye and lazily went, "Lululup," which is pigeon for "duh." Most of the rest of the boxes had labels like, she leaned closer, "Captain Horace Calumny's Patent Field Biscuits" and "Dried Stew." As she was musing that Shufti would have very much liked to get her hands on one or two of these boxes, a bundle of clothes hanging from the ceiling of the rocking cart moved slightly and a face appeared.
"Good morning,"
it said upside down. William De Word turned around on the seat in front. "It's only Otto, Private," he said. "Don't be afraid."
"Yes, I will not bite," said the face cheerfully.
It smiled. A vampire's face does not look any better upside down, and a smile in these circumstances does nothing to improve matters.
"That is guaranteed."
Polly lowered the crossbow. Jackram would have been impressed at how quickly she had raised it. So was she, and embarrassed too. The socks were doing the thinking again. Otto very elegantly lowered himself to the bed of the cart.
"Where are we going?"
he said, steadying himself as they bounced over a rut.
"A little place I know, sir," said Jackram. "Nice and quiet."
"Good. I need to exercise the imps," said the vampire. "They get fretful if they are cooped up for too long."
Otto pushed aside a stack of paper and revealed his large picture-making box. He lifted a small hatch.
"Rise and shine, lads," he said.
There was a chorus of high-pitched voices from inside.
"I'd better just give you the heads-up, re-tiger, Mr. De Word," said Jackram as the cart rolled up an old logging track.
"Tiger? Who's Tiger?"
"Oops," said Jackram. "Sorry, that's what we call the lieutenant, sir. on account of him being so brave. Forget I said that, will you?
Brave, is he? Said De Word.
And clever, sir. Don't let him fool you, sir. He is one of the great military minds of his generation, sir.